John 8:32. He said, "And you shall know the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, we've read those words, we've heard those words, haven't we? We know that our Lord spoke them. But are you familiar with where he spoke those words? Where the Lord said that, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you know to whom he spoke those words? When we're reading the Bible, I've told you so often, find out who's speaking. Find out to whom he's speaking. And try to find out what the subject is. What is this truth? What's he talking about? The truth. To whom did he say that? Where did he say it? To whom? And what is this truth? Now, if you go back to verse 20, you'll find out where he spoke these words. He wasn't out on a street corner. He was in the temple. He was in Jerusalem, in the temple, in the most hallowed religious place on earth, where men assembled in the name of God. It says in verse 20, "These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple." That's where these words were spoken. In the temple, in Jerusalem, in this hallowed, sacred, religious place. Now, to whom did he speak them? Well, he was speaking to the Jews. He was speaking to worshipers. He was speaking to men who revered Moses. They said, "Moses, we have Moses. We believe Moses. We studied Moses. We searched the scriptures." These men were not dummies. These men were men who were schooled in the scriptures. They revered Moses. They were men who defended the law. They were not lawless people. They were men like the Apostle Paul before he met Christ, who said, "Concerning the law, I was blameless." They sought to keep the law. They were men who came to the temple. They were men who taught the scriptures. They were men who tithed everything that they had, even their herbs, mint, anise, cumin. They were men who studied the scriptures and taught the scriptures. They were rulers of the Jews. And these were men who thought they knew the truth. I can identify with them. These men were raised in the tradition of their fathers. They were raised in religion. They were taught religion and a zeal for God from their youth, as I was. Went to church regularly. Took an active part in the church services. Read the Bible. Went to school. Studied in school. Became a preacher. Pastored a church. Thought I knew the truth. These men thought they knew the truth. But my friends, the truth is not a form of worship. The truth is not a form of worship. Even if it be a correct form. And the truth is not a system of doctrine. Most of the doctrine to which most of the religious people hold is the doctrine that's been handed down to them. They've established the doctrine and then gone to the Bible to prove it. But truth is not a system of doctrine. It's not the Protestant, Catholic, or Jew that has a corner on the truth. It's not the Baptist or the Methodist or the Nazarene or the Pentecostal or whomever that has a corner on the truth. Truth is not a system of doctrine. A man can know much doctrine and many doctrines and not know the truth. We're not talking about truths, we're talking about the truth. Not truths, truth. You shall know. Our Lord didn't say you shall know some truths. You'll know the truth. and the truth will make you free. And truth is not a law of morality and behavior. These were men who, one of them stood in the temple and he said, I'm not like other men. He said, I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. He said, I tithe. I fast twice a week. I give alms to the poor. I'm not like this publican back here. My friends, the truth is a person. It's not a form of worship. It's not a system of doctrine. It's not a law of morality and behavior. Christ said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. We'll show you that in a moment. And to know this person is to know the truth. Whatever my abilities or intelligence or position or whatever, to know this person is to know the truth. And to believe this person is to believe the truth. And to walk with this person is to walk in truth. Now, there's a key word in this passage. I'm going to go verse by verse through the words of our master here. He came down to the end. He said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But I'm going down the words that our Lord spake to these people before he said that. And there's a key word. It is the word, I am. Look for it. Listen to it. I am. Now, before we read it, I want you to turn to a passage of Scripture in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. This is very important. Exodus chapter 3. You see, God appeared to Moses. Israel had been in Egypt 400 years in captivity and bondage. And God raised up a deliverer called Moses. Moses spent his first 40 years in Egypt. And then he'd spent the last 40 years, he was now 80 years of age, he spent the last 40 years in the desert. God preparing, equipping his servant, his deliverer, to go down into Egypt and lead the people out. And God had not spoken to him, evidently, in all these 40 years. He'd been there in the desert, tending the sheep. But finally, the Lord spoke to him. 80 years of age, been in the desert for 40 years. And God said, Moses, I want you to go down into Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Lead all of my people. There were now 2 or 3 million of them. They went into Egypt 70. Now there were 2 or 3 million. And God sent Moses to deliver him out. But Moses said to the Lord in Exodus 3, verse 11, Moses said to God, the Lord, you know, appeared to him in the burning bush, spoke to him, who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and I say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they say to me, what's his name? What's his name? Who is this God of our fathers? What's his name? What shall I say to them? What is thy name? And God said to Moses, now listen. In the Bible from which I'm reading is capitalized. I suppose it is in yours too. I am. I am. I am that I am. Not I was, not I shall be. I am. The ever-present, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God. I am. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. All right, now back to our text. And remember those words, I am. And let's look at verse 23 of John 8. Truth. Truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, verse 23. And he said to them in the temple, these religious men who thought they knew the truth, he said to them, you're from beneath. I am from above. You're of this world. I am not of this world. Now, this I know about truth. If you're looking for truth, if I'm looking for truth, don't look for it on this earth. Don't look for it from the men of this earth. Truth must come from God. Truth must come from above. You can get the best minds of this world, whether they're men in politics or men in business or men in religion or whomever, get the best minds of this world together. And while they know many things about their world and many things about their professions and many things about their philosophies, they know nothing about God. Did you know that? Truth, Christ said, you're from beneath. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm from heaven. I am. Truth does not originate with men. It comes from God. The scripture says this, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten hath revealed him. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Listen to what Job said in Job 11. In the 11th chapter of Job, verse 7, can you by searching find God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? What's high as the heaven? What can you do? We're from beneath. We're of this world. If we learn anything about God, it's got to come from God. Not from us. We can sit around and say, well, I think God's like this. Well, if you got 100 men, you get 100 different opinions. If you got 1,000 people, you have 1,000 different opinions. It's high as the heaven. What can you do? It's deeper than hell. What can you know? Verse 9, the measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. You know what Paul said about this in Romans 11? Turn over there and read what Paul said about finding God, searching out the wisdom and glory of God. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, Paul said, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I know you hear a lot of people talking about God this and God that, and they know all about God, but it's not so. Verse 34, who hath known the mind of the Lord? I hear preachers who are so dogmatic on what they know God's going to do and God has done. Who knows the mind of God? Who knows? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him that it shall be recompensed unto him again? What does God owe me? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. So here's the first thing our Lord says in verse 23. You're from beneath. I am is from above. You're of the earth. I am from heaven. And we're going to know any truth at all. It's not going to start down here. It's not going to be figured out. It's not going to be concluded. It's not going to be, now we've come to this conclusion. No, it's got to be by revelation. Totally, completely by revelation. And it's got to come from him. I am. All right, verse 24. I said therefore to you, because truth is only from God. The truth is only from above, not of the earth. I said therefore unto you, if you do not believe that I am. You notice the word he there? Is it in italics in your Bible? A different type of print, italics. What that means, I heard one fellow say one time, that means emphasize that. No, that means eliminate that. Those words in italics have been added by the translators. And it's all right. It doesn't change the meaning of it here if you know what it means. But if he said here, since truth is from God, and truth is from above, and there's no, let God be true and every man a liar. Me, you, every man. Now men know God's been pleased to give us natural gifts and talent. Some of you fellas and you ladies are just intelligent and sharp and you know your field, but this is not your field. This isn't my field. God's not my field. We're of the earth. We're from beneath. He's from above. Anything I know about God has to come from him. Has to be revealed. Doesn't originate here. And he said, therefore, if you don't believe that I who speak to you and I whom God hath sent, if I'm not, I am, then you're going to die in your sin. You're going to die in your blindness. We're blind. We're going to stay blind. If God doesn't send us a messenger, if God doesn't send us a revelator, if God doesn't send us someone to show us who he is and to reveal himself to us, then we're going to die in our sins. We're going to die in our blindness. We're going to die in our ignorance. You're from beneath, I'm from above. Now, if you don't believe that I'm from above, if you don't believe that God sent me, if you don't believe I am God. Moses didn't know anything until God spoke to him. You don't know anything, and I'm not either. God speaks to us. How does he speak to us? Hebrews 1. You've got to turn over here to this with me. Hebrews 1. How does God speak to us? How does God speak to us? In Hebrews 1, verse 1, listen to it. God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Yes, he spoke to Israel by Moses, Abraham, David. But he hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory. The only way I can see the glory of God is see Christ, who's the express image of his person. Show us the Father, the disciples said. He said, you see me, you've seen the Father. He upholdeth all things by the word of his power. When he'd by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, if you don't believe that I am, there's not going to be another messenger. Christ is the last messenger. Christ is the messenger of whom all the other messengers spoke. Search the scriptures. You think in them you have life, they are they that testify of me. To him give all the prophets witness. Now he's come. And he says, I am. I am. Moses says, what's your name? I go down there and they say, what's his name? What's your name? What am I going to tell them? I am. And that's exactly what Christ Jesus said standing here in the temple. I am. And if you believe not that I am, you're going to continue in your form. You're going to continue in your doctrines. You're going to continue in your error. You're going to continue in your ignorance. You're going to continue in your blindness. You're going to die in your sin. If you don't believe that I am. Now, then said they spoke. They knew what he was saying. They know who I, as I said to you, these men were not, like Brother Scott Richardson said one time, they didn't come into town on the back of a pickup truck. These fellas knew the scriptures. And when he said, I am, They got frustrated, fearful, upset, then said they, "Who are you? I understand, don't you? You're a man. Well, we know your mother. We know your brothers and sisters. We know where you came from. We know you're from Nazareth. You're the carpenter. And here you're standing here saying these great and marvelous and wonderful things. Who are you?" God performed a thing here that's never been heard of. God became a man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in human flesh. The man came up to you today and said, "I am." What would you say? "I am." You'd say, "You're going to have some proof, old boy." And that's what these fellows are saying. "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, verse 25, "Even the same that I said to you from the beginning of this message." Look at verse 12. This is the beginning when he started talking to them. He said, verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, shall have the light of life." It's the same. It's the same. It hadn't changed. The message hasn't changed. I'm not changing my message. He didn't change it. He is the Son of God. "I am." That's what I said to you from the beginning. Your doubts won't change it. Your debates will not change it. Your discussions will not change the fact that I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. I am the door. I am the bread. I am the water. I am God. Hadn't changed. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything that was made that was made, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." God came down here. God came down here in our flesh, speaking our language as a man, and revealed Himself to us. The angel said that to Joseph, said, "Mary's with child. Don't be afraid to take her to be your wife, because that holy thing, you give it a name, not conceived of a man, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born without a human father, that holy thing, a man yet God, that holy thing in her shall be called the Son of God," which is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, called his name Emmanuel. You know what that word means? Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. God with us. Now they said, "Who are you?" He said, "The same as I told you to start with. In this message, the same that John told you in those early days, and the same back yonder in the beginning of all creation. In the beginning, God. I am." In verse 26, he says this, "And I've got many other things to say to you." I've got many things to say to say and to judge of you. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, "I have many other things to say about you. Things that will judge you." Because he said in John 5, "I know you." He knows me. You know what he said about us in John 5? These are strong words. In John chapter 5, verse 42, he said, "I know you. I know you. You have not the love of God in you." We're not born with the love of God in us. We're born with the love of self in us. "I know you," he said, verse 43, "I'm come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Let another come in his own name, and him you will receive." Oh, my. How can you believe? You receive honor one of another. You're not seeking the honor that comes from God. I know you. I know you, he said. I've got a lot of other things to say about you and to you that will judge you because I know you. You don't have God's love in you. You won't receive him whom God sent. You're not looking for the honor of God. You're looking for the honor of this flesh. And you don't believe the ones God sent. Listen to verse 45. Don't think that I'll accuse you to the Father. You're already accused. He didn't come to condemn the world. It was already condemned. You're already accused. There's one that accuses you, the one in whom you trust. Moses is going to accuse you. For if you'd believe Moses, you'd believe me. Moses wrote of me. He said in verse 26 there, I have many things to say that'll judge you, and he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. I speak those things about you which I've heard of him. I speak those things to the world which I've heard of him. You see, the Messiah said, the words that I speak are not my words. They're the words of him that sent me. While Jesus Christ is God, yet he came from God as the representative man, as the federal head, as the messenger of God. He came not to do his will, but the will of him that sent him. Not to speak his words, but the word of him that sent him. And he says, verse 27, it says here, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. These were difficult words for them. Turn back to John 6 a moment. John 6, verse 60. Look at this scripture here. Now, the word disciple sometimes talks about the 12. Sometimes it talks about just people who were following him. In this case, it talks about just people who were following him. Verse 60. John 6, listening to him. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. These are strong words. These are mysterious words. God becomes a man. I am God. The Father hath sent me, yet our God is one God. And here you speak of God the Father and the Son of God and the Spirit of God. These are, when they say hard words, they're hard to understand. They're hard to comprehend. They're hard to fathom. They're hard to, for me to put together. It's a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who's able to understand? When Jesus knew in himself that these disciples murmured, he said, does this offend you? Am I telling you who I am? Who sent me? What I came to do? Is that offensive? Am I taking unto myself the glory of God himself? Does that offend you? Listen. What? And if you see the Son ascend up where he was before, you're looking at me now, and I'm telling you that I'm God in human flesh. Will you see me thoroughly exalted to where I was? On the throne, the only revelation of God. But it's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh doesn't profit anything. That's what I said, truth from above. You're not going to find out anything down here getting together and comparing notes. Flesh will profit you nothing. You're not going to look down or in or about and find out anything about God. You're going to have to look up. It's got to come from him. That's what he said. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that gives life. It's the Spirit that gives understanding. It's the Spirit that gives light. The flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing, not a thing in this world. And the words that I speak to you, they're spirit, they're life, my words. But to some of you that believe not, Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, no man can come to me except it were given him of my Father. And from that time, most of them just left and walked no more with him. I can't comprehend God. I can't understand God. What can you know? It's higher than the heavens. It's deeper than hell. Broader than the sea. Longer. But I can't understand one who speaks my language and talks to me, whom God hath sent, Christ Jesus. And I believe him. And that's when the disciples, he turned to the disciples. After all those folks left, he turned to the disciples there in verse, in John 6, verse 67. And he said to the 12, will you go away? And Simon Peter answered. And Peter didn't have a corner on the truth either. He had a lot of rough sailing ahead of him. He said, well, Lord, to whom shall we go? That's a good question. To whom shall I go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and assure that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. We got nowhere else to go. Truth is from above. Truth is from God. Truth has to be manifested in human flesh. Now, a lot about you we don't understand. A lot about you we don't know. A lot about you we can't comprehend. A lot of this holy thing, this is unheard of. A man, God in human flesh, I don't know. I'm confused. I'm troubled. But I do know that you have the words of eternal life. I do know you're the Son of God. So I'm going to hang around. You. We're going to stay with you. All right, verse chapter 8. Now back to my text. Now, he's going to clear it up a little bit for us here. Verse 27 said, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And then verse 28, then Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am. Know he there. Lifted up the Son of Man? Yes, crucified him. When that takes place, when you've crucified me, then you're going to know that I am. You see, his crucifixion with his resurrection. A lot of people have been crucified before he'd been crucified, but they hadn't risen from the grave. He wasn't the first man crucified, nor the last one. But everybody who was ever crucified stayed in the ground. He arose and appeared to many. And after 40 days ascended right before their eyes to heaven. Now when you've lifted up the Son of Man, when you've crucified him, you're going to know that I am. Because his crucifixion, his resurrection, his exaltation is accompanied by and followed by such manifestations of divine truth and glory. This has to be the Messiah. You see, his death and resurrection fulfilled every promise of the Old Testament. You know, I told our young people here one time that there was a fancy ball in a foreign country, and a handsome prince invited all the beautiful girls of the kingdom to come. And there was a girl named Cinderella who had two ugly sisters. She was kind of the workhorse around the house, and they weren't very pretty, but they were going to the ball, and she's going to stay home. But a fairy godmother appeared to her and said, I'm going to send you to the ball. She was very beautiful. And she waved her magic wand and got a dress for Cinderella and beautiful glass slippers and beautiful hairdo and turned a pumpkin into a coach and some rats into horses. And sent her to the ball. But she said, you better be home at midnight, because when the clock strikes midnight, your coach is going to turn back to a pumpkin, and your horse is back into rats, and your dress is going to disappear. Well, the clock struck midnight, and she ran down the steps and dropped her slipper. Went out and left, and the prince, he'd fallen in love with her, and he found that slipper. That's all he had to go on. That slipper. If he could find a girl who could wear that slipper, he'd find Cinderella. So he began to go all over the kingdom with that slipper in his hand. trying to find the girl that could wait. And I've got the promises of the Old Testament and the prophecies of the Old Testament and the patterns of the Old Testament and the pictures of the Old Testament, the Passover lamb, the brazen serpent lifted up, the sacrifice of Abel, the tabernacle, the priesthood, the sacrifices, the promises of God, a king shall reign in righteousness. Psalm 22, you study this morning, he'll die, but he'll arise. If I can find the one who fits all of those pictures, types, promises, and patterns, I got me a Messiah. Well, when he was crucified, he said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you'll know I'm he. That's when I found it out. Found out at the cross. He didn't stay dead. He arose. And he fits every one of these pictures. That's right. It's not the Baptist church. It's not the Catholic church. We've got all our forms and ceremonies and confirmations and all these things, you know. We're going through the motion, the ritual. Listen, truth's a person. Truth's a person. Verse 28, Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, when you crucified him, and God raised him and made him both Lord and Christ, then you're going to know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. This is a fulfillment of the whole Bible. Genesis to Malachi. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. I do those things that please him. Jesus, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. I'm not preaching, and the true preachers of God are not preaching some kind of experience or emotionalism or whoop-de-doo or that sort of thing. We're preaching a person. Jesus Christ is God, the revelation of God, the appearance of God, the glory of God, the express image of God. Believe him. To whom shall you go? But I'll turn to my philosophy. Truth's not from down here, it's from above. But I'll turn to some religious form or ceremony. It won't help you. Got to turn to a person. Verse 29, well, thank God. It says here, verse 30, and as he spoke these words, many believed on him. That's all they had to. You say, preacher, all you've got there is words. That's all they had to. They believed his word. That's all Abraham had. Abraham believed that God was able to do what he said. That's all. That's all. It's the word. My word shall not return unto me void. James 1:18, out of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. 1 Peter 1:23 says, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. Romans 10 said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There it is. As he spake these words, many believed on him. I don't know all there is to know about him. I haven't laid hold of that for which I've been laid hold. I haven't apprehended, arrived, but I'm going to look to him. I'm going to keep looking to him because that's where truth is. He's I am. But here's the big if right here, verse 31. Then he said to those who believed on him, those that believed on him, now he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Not just in profession. Not just in noise. Not just in feeling. But indeed. You see, continuing, persevering in the Word of God in Christ is not a condition of faith, it's the evidence of faith. It's the evidence of faith. How do I know that I believe him? I stay with him. I continue to look to him. I keep coming to him. That's how I know I'm in him. If a man perseveres and continues, then he's Christ's disciple indeed. You see, true faith is not, it's not just an idle confession or profession. It's an experience. It's a life of God. And true faith, if it's there, if a man believes God, if he believes Christ, it throbs in his pulse. It looks out of his eyes. It lights up his countenance. It softens his touch. It mellows his voice. It bows his head. It bends his knee. It opens his hand. It curbs his tongue. It humbles his heart. It orders his steps. It gives him a hearing ear and a seeing eye and a forgiving spirit and a peace of conscience. Not in perfection, but in the seed, in the bud, and in his good time, in the bloom. And then he said, verse 32, and you'll know the truth. And you'll know the truth. You've got the truth. When you have me, you have the truth. And it'll set you free. It'll set you free from the curse of the law, from the condemnation of sin. It'll set you free from all this religious form and tradition that's got people so bound, doing what they don't want to do, giving what they don't want to give, going where they don't want to go. Just set you free from all that tradition and form. Set you free. Set you free from legalism, professing, claiming self-righteousness, self-justification, defending yourself, wearing a veneer that's not you. Just be yourself. Because all those sinners out there know what you are and you know what they are. And we're all looking to him. We're not looking in here and not looking out there. We have no confidence in the flesh. One of my friends, I was preaching up in the country near here. Well, it was Hap Yates. I was preaching him up Dingus. It's kind of a honky-tonk up on top of the hill there. You know where it is. A little carry-out store or something. Hap went in there to get something. And the fella asked him who he was. He said, I'm pastor of this church down here. Said, we're having a meeting tonight. Why don't you come out? He said, oh, you don't want a fella like me down there. Hap said, you're the kind of fella we do want down there. Because we're all the same kind of fellas you are. The only difference is the grace of God made the difference. So come on. You know, people have a strange idea about, and their religion, that's what their religion is. It's a do-good religion. Full of do-gooders that don't do good. But profess to do good. That's right. But this religion, and I hate to call it that, this salvation is for sinners. It makes a man a new creature. Like I said, it changes that person, brings him to Christ. But it doesn't do away, annihilate his old nature. He's still a man. He's still got problems, a lot of them. God helps him with him. He helps him with them. But he's still got them. But it delivers you from that legalism. The truth delivers you from claims and hypocrisy. It delivers you from self-righteousness. Delivers you from worry and fear. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ. And it delivers you from judgment. Delivers you from condemnation. Someday you'll stand before God, but you won't stand before God in yourself. You'll stand before God in Christ. And God's not going to condemn Christ. Is he? Well, how can he condemn us in him? You shall know the truth. Truth will make you free. And oh, I tell you, what a freedom it is.